The Tom Woods Show, episode 1273.
Prepare to set fire to the index card of allowable opinion. Your daily dose of liberty education starts here. The Tom Woods Show.
Hey, all you homeschooling parents out there. I'm recording this the very beginning of November 2018. And you may be thinking to yourselves, well, it's too far into the school year for me to change homeschooling programs now, so we'll just have to slog through it. If that's how you feel, go ahead and chuck that labor-intensive homeschool program you've got and join the self-taught Ron Paul curriculum through my link where you get $160 worth of free bonuses. Check it out at ronpaulhomeschool.com. Hey everybody, Tom Woods here. I thought I would turn on the microphone today and say a little something about this birthright citizenship question. And just as I was sitting down to do it, I got an alert on my phone from an app that I guess is built in on the Android called Newsroom. I certainly didn't put this stupid thing on there. And every once in a while, it'll send me a headline, maybe a couple of times a day, something important happens and I get a headline. And then I can click on it and read the whole story. I, every once in a while, see them send me a headline about, I guess the guy's name is Matt Bai, B-A-I, over at Yahoo. And so they'll actually send me, as if it's a breaking story, an opinion piece that he wrote. So it'll be, Yahoo's Matt Bai says Donald Trump blah, 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 blah. Like that's some kind of breaking news. Or Yahoo's Matt Bai says U.S. policy on housing should be blah, blah, blah. So in other words, some blowhard has a totally predictable opinion. Yeah, stop the presses. Make sure and send out a text alert to everybody about that. Well, just as I'm sitting down to record this episode about birthright citizenship, here's the headline that was just sent to me via this Newsroom app. President Trump dismisses a century of constitutional scholarship in bid to end birthright citizenship. Now, that headline could have read, President Trump seeks to return to original understanding in bid to end birthright citizenship. You see what I did? You could just as easily have published that headline. So right away, we know it's hostile. We know that the source is hostile because it did not have to be written that way. But there it is. All right, so let's talk about so-called birthright citizenship, the idea that if you're born on U.S. soil, you are automatically a citizen, even if your parents are citizens of some other country, and even if your parents brought you to the country illegally, you're just automatically a citizen. Is that the case? Or is this some kind of libertarian principle that we ought to uphold? I certainly hope nobody's advocating that. You can argue about whether the president can institute this policy via executive order. You can argue whether this is what the 14th Amendment intended. But the idea that this would be some kind of libertarian principle is really too much. And the very idea of citizenship wouldn't even exist in a stateless society. So right away, obviously there can't be, libertarians can't be wedded to this, the idea that everybody's got to be a citizen of the place where they're born as opposed to a citizen of the place where their parents reside. I mean, for crying out loud, what's the libertarian question at stake there? Of course, there isn't one. So we can't let our prejudices in one direction or the other cloud our historical judgment here. What exactly did the 14th Amendment, which everybody points to on this, have to say on this question? Well, it's true that at that time, there really wasn't so-called illegal immigration. So people weren't thinking in those terms. But we can tell from what they wrote and said what they were thinking. And the key clause here involves the words subject to the jurisdiction thereof. Let me read the whole thing. All persons born or naturalized in the United States and subject to the jurisdiction thereof are citizens of the United States and of the state wherein they reside. All right. Well, what does that mean? I mean, this is primarily meant to respond to the Dred Scott decision of 1857 that concluded that blacks could not be citizens. So this replies to that. But what does that subject to the jurisdiction thereof mean? What does that mean? I saw a fairly intelligent libertarian in my Facebook feed say the other day that this obviously means that anybody at all, it obviously applies to basically everybody in the U.S. because Look, if you weren't subject to the jurisdiction of the U.S., why, you could just go on a crime spree. And since you're not subject to the jurisdiction of the U.S., nobody could stop you. Well, we know nobody has the right to go on a crime spree in the U.S., so that goes to show everybody is subject to the jurisdiction of the U.S. And I was so disappointed to read that kind of nonsense from a libertarian, because I just have high expectations of libertarians. I think libertarians are people who somehow came to highly, highly unorthodox conclusions, even though they were basically propagandized into believing the exact opposite pretty much from birth. And so I have great respect for my fellow libertarians. How did you ever arrive at the views you hold now? And it's by refusal just to take things on faith and a desire to get to the bottom of things and not just to jump onto some kind of propaganda bandwagon. So that's deeply disappointing. What exactly does that phrase mean? Because, of course, that interpretation renders the phrase completely nugatory. You have to assume there's a reason that it's there. And it's not just to talk about the children of foreign diplomats. I mean, for heaven's sake, you look at the vanishingly small number of those, it wouldn't even be worth mentioning. So what exactly did it mean? What it meant was that you don't owe allegiance to any other sovereign. Then you are fully subject to the jurisdiction of the United States. But if you do owe, so for example, this is part of the reason that in the original understanding before 1924, that American Indians were said not to be American citizens because they're not fully subject to the jurisdiction thereof. They have, to some degree anyway, some tribal sovereignty. And so this was thought to exclude them from American citizenship. Now then they, as I said, they changed that later through legislative means. But that was the understanding that led to the conclusion that they were not citizens. You cannot be subject to any other sovereign. So let me just read you some quotations backing up what I'm saying. When we look at advocates of the 14th Amendment, major figures, advocates, drafters of the amendment, all make this fairly clear. So Senator Lyman Trumbull, for example, said, "What do we mean by these words?" And he says, "Not owing allegiance to anybody else. That is what it means." And then we have John Bingham, Congressman John Bingham of Ohio, who's more or less the drafter of the 14th Amendment, said this, that the introductory clause of the amendment is simply declaratory of what is written in the Constitution, that every human being born within the jurisdiction of the United States, of parents not owing allegiance to any foreign sovereignty, is, in the language of your Constitution itself, a natural-born citizen. Uh-huh. So not owing allegiance to any foreign sovereignty. Then one of the primary architects of the Citizenship Clause, the highly pro-14th Amendment U.S. Senator Jacob Howard, said this about the subject to the jurisdiction thereof. He said, "This will not, of course, include persons born in the United States who are foreigners, aliens, who belong to the families of ambassadors or foreign ministers accredited to the government of the United States, but will include every other class of persons." So it will not include persons born in the United States who are foreigners. So I think that more or less settles that particular question. Then I was listening to Kevin Gutzman, my co-author on Who Killed the Constitution, in an appearance he made a night or two ago on the Lars Larson Show, and they were talking about this precise issue, and Kevin pointed out the statute, 8 U.S.C. 1401, that more or less repeats the language of the 14th Amendment, including subject to the jurisdiction thereof, and he says it's been basically executive misapplication of this language that's led to the current situation. So if executives can misapply this language, Kevin says, I'm not exactly sure what would stop the president from changing this order and saying, for example, to the State Department, don't issue passports or related documents to anybody who's not a natural-born citizen, as understood by the plain meaning of these words and obviously the intention behind these words. If the president can interpret them obviously wrongly, I mean, obviously at odds with the intention behind them, There's no multiple interpretations of the passages I just read to you, then why couldn't the president turn around and reverse that on constitutional grounds? I don't get what would stop him. I mean, in practical terms, what would stop him is there'd be outrage and they wouldn't let him do it. But in principle, I don't see what the big deal is, that people are saying he's acting like a dictator. But this is actually something that would slightly take power away from the government, because it would reduce the number of people eligible for coercively acquired benefits. So that's a net positive. But it seems to me this is what an executive order is supposed to do. It's supposed to direct executive agencies to take particular actions. And yes, this goes against longstanding interpretation of the amendment, but okay, that interpretation was wrong, was self-serving and wrong. So if they can, through executive power, carry out the misunderstanding of the words, why could you not? Again, I'm not saying could he get away with it. I'm saying in principle, why could you not equally through executive power say, no, we're going to restore the original meaning of the words? That part of it, I'm not really getting the outrage. Now, on this topic, I'm going to link at tomwoods.com/1273 to an article from National Affairs in fall 2018 called The Question of Birthright Citizenship by two legal scholars, one from Yale and one from the University of Pennsylvania, so elite schools. And they wrote a book on this subject back in 1985, published by Yale University Press, called Citizenship Without Consent, Illegal Aliens in the American Polity. And they, in this current article, address the current controversy. And these are people whose political sympathies are not at all with Trump or with ending birthright citizenship at all, which makes their testimony all the more interesting and intriguing, because they say that really the Constitution does not actually call for this. There's also a passage from a Rothbard article where he talks a bit about birthright citizenship and says this is obviously a bad idea because it's obviously going to be a welfare magnet. And you're not supposed to say that. I understand you're not supposed to say that. But just think of natural incentives. I mean, for crying out loud, we talk about economics all the time. We don't understand incentives. You could come here and be eligible for far more in benefits than you ever would be in your home country. That's an incentive. It's not just big businesses that have incentives to collect subsidies. It's everybody. And there's a reason that Ron Paul has been against birthright citizenship. And Rand Paul, years ago, back in 2011, came out swinging against birthright citizenship. It's a subsidy. It is a subsidy to immigration. If you want immigration, that's one thing. But if you want subsidized immigration, that's quite another. And obviously, birthright citizenship skews the calculus when it comes to immigration. So it should be gotten rid of. And the historical and constitutional arguments against it are pretty convincing. In fact, this article that I mentioned in National Affairs, again by scholars eminently qualified to speak on this, having written an Ivy League published book, both being Ivy League professors, and frankly, having a kind of sympathy for birthright citizenship, they nevertheless say that if an unauthorized alien gives birth to a child on American soil, is the child automatically a United States citizen? Americans have long assumed that the answer is yes, that the child is a birthright citizen regardless of the parent's legal status, and that such citizenship is required and guaranteed by the Constitution. But a closer examination of the matter suggests that this answer is actually incorrect. So that's pretty much all I have to say on this subject. But before I end this particular episode, this is a really short one today, I want to tell you about a fun giveaway that's going on that could really benefit you. And it all has to do with a guy who's a member of my marketing mastermind group. He started a blog and a podcast about the books he's reading, and it's called the Close-Minded Podcast. He's actually riffing off a quotation from G.K. Chesterton there. It's not explicitly libertarian, but he reads and engages ideas off the 3x5 card of allowable opinion, anything from adult literary fiction to kids' literature, science and Darwinism, economics and liberty, plenty of stuff there. He also launched a sister site and email list related to helping newbie entrepreneurs online called Close-Minded Profits. Again, not closed, but close. Well, as part of the kickoff for all this, he's going to give away a master, that's a lifetime membership, to my Liberty Classroom. So go sign up at closemindedprofits.com/woods, and that's where you can enter to win. And even if you're hearing this after his giveaway has ended, he's still going to give you lots of goodies when you sign up over at closemindedprofits.com/woods. So definitely check that out. That's a really good deal because it costs you nothing and you could win a master membership to Liberty Classroom. So closemindedprofits.com/woods is where to go. I'll link to that at tomwoods.com/1273, our show notes page for today. All right, that's it. As I said, at that page, I will also link to that National Affairs article. So you can see I'm not just making stuff up here. This is actually not a particularly outrageous position to hold. And by the way, I was very surprised to see the New York Times have, I think his name is John Eastman, writing on this topic, taking the anti-birthright citizenship position in the New York Times as part of a debate. And I just thought he was decisive. So I'll try and remember to link to that also at tomwoods.com/1273. Thanks for listening.
Become a smarter libertarian in just 30 minutes a day. Visit tomwoods.com to subscribe to the show for free, and we'll see you next time.